A passionate instigator and dynamic problem solver, Dr. Kevin Ross Emery, the host of the Dr. Kevin Radio Show, will be taking you outside the box, behind the curtain, and identifying the load of BS we are fed every day. And now, Dr. Kevin.
Hello, 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 and welcome to an April Showers Dr. Kevin Show here on Ohm Times. This is our planetary influences, and this week, at least if you're in my part of the world, which is Nashua, New Hampshire, the planetary influences are all wet because it's raining and it's cold, and welcome to April in New England. Planetary Influences is with none other than Rob Stewart from innercenter.org and our lovely version of Carol Merrill and Vanner White all rolled into one, Reverend Lori Powers Otto. And she's going to pull back the curtain of the starry night, and Rob's going to point at the stars and say, and this one is going to give you hell on these days, and this one's going to crap on your head on these days, and this one's going to give you false hope on those days. And that's what we call planetary influences on the Dr. Kevin Show.
Wow.
And if you would like to be part of this conversation, like who would, right? 202-570-7057. That's 202-570-7057. You can call in, get your astrological, spiritual, metaphysical questions answered, or get another joke from the stand-up comedian running the show tonight. Whatever suits you. Just make sure it's respectful. Welcome, Rob. Welcome, Lori. How are both of you this evening?
Good. We're good.
I'm doing well. Thanks.
So I did want to do a little, I don't always do a warming the cockles of my heart or getting me hot under the collar on the Planetary Influences show, but I keep on missing this, and it came across my reality today, and I just thought I wanted to get it out there, and then we'll turn it fully over to Rob with Lori doing the kind of dance that did in that Star Trek movie when she dressed up on the skyline, Uhura, and she had the cat outfit, like the tiger outfit. I don't know if you guys remember it or if I'm just older than everyone. But hot under the collar tonight, or warm the cockles of my heart. It's kind of a little bit of both. But Kenneth C. Kelly, either one of you recognize the name?
No.
Okay. Well, he just passed. He had a good life, 93 years old. He was he was an engineer. He was a man that was, worked hard, was ahead of his time, did a lot of good in the world when he was here. But the thing that I want to talk about, because he did just pass, was in 1953, he moved to L.A. to take a job as an engineer in LA, an aero engineer, and high level job, lots of education, and no one would sell him a house because he was black. No one would sell him a house. The houses were, there's nothing available. There's no one on the market. Couldn't get a real estate agent to even deal with him in the area of LA that he wanted to live in because it was all white and they didn't want a black person there. And what he did is he actually convinced a friend of his to pretend to be him, go out, buy the house. Went out and bought the house and then bought the house from his friend. And then moved into the neighborhood. It wasn't received very well, but they adjusted. He turned around and did that a few more times, left being an engineer for a while, and started a real estate agency for and by black people who were trying to move into places where they weren't wanted. and got successful there. And then hit a lot of part of his working life. He went back to engineering. He recently passed. He was intelligent, well-educated, and figured out a way to bypass the bigotry in 1950s LA. 50s LA, 60s, into the 70s. He was still doing this. The 1970s, 50 years ago. There are people whose grandparents or parents are living in a neighborhood today because they tricked the neighbors into selling them a house because they didn't want to sell them a house because they were black. It warms the cockles of my heart that this man figured out how to work against the systemic racism that existed in this country in the 50s, 60s, 70s, not that long ago. And that there are people right now who are where they are and maybe got educated in a better school system, got more opportunities, got to actually have more of an authentic American experience because of what this man did and the other people he helped to do, to live the American dream of upgrading your life. And then we have these people running around going, well, I didn't own any slaves, so why should I think I have any responsibility in this? Why, this is ancient history. That's not a problem today, as we have yet another person of color getting shot, whether they're 13 years old in Chicago, whether they're 20 years old in Minneapolis, whether murder is committed on a street by a police officer with a surrounding crowd, as is going on in this trial today. And yet I still hear these ignorant people acting as if it doesn't exist, that it's just made up. It's just a bunch of freeloaders trying to get, you know, take advantage of the system. We crippled people of color in this country to become dependent on a system that abused them, that kept them in a kind of paid slavery and oppressed them in so many ways, I can't count them all. So on today's show, I wanted to celebrate Kenneth C. Kelly. He lived a good, honorable life. He was an intelligent man, reportedly a great father, and he was changing the world in the 50s and 60s and 70s for something that some people today still don't want to admit exist, which is the horrible way that we engage in white supremacy and racism in this country and pretend that our lily white fingers aren't doing nothing wrong, honey child. Well, you got to look again because there's all sorts of blood on those fingers. So you're welcome to chime in or ignore what I said and move on to planetary influences. Hello and welcome to the Dr. Kevin Show.
I have to say, Dr. Kevin, I think it's interesting that you picked that topic to talk about today on Jackie Robinson Day. A personal hero of mine, baseball player. He was an amazing civil rights activist after he retired from baseball. He was a wonderful, again, highly intelligent, very kind, very strong, very loving man that had to fight racism, not just everywhere his team traveled, which ironically was L.A. I don't know if they were L.A. at the time, though. But with his teammates, too. And he never succumbed. He never was nasty back. And he paved the way for other people of color, of any other color other than white, to play Major League Baseball. He was one of the very first, or he was the very first, I believe. And just a truly remarkable man. I mean, we owe these men a debt of gratitude for having the strength and the courage to do what was right. That's my two cents.
Well, thank you for that. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, no, yeah, I mean, amen to both those stories there. I mean, there's some clear heroes in this history of all this, and I can't imagine the bravery and you know, to challenge the ignorance of a society at a period of time. That's that takes courage and it takes a lot of strength. And but yeah, beautiful. Thanks for sharing those, you guys.
Well, thank you for sharing, Lori, and weighing in, Rob, and we're gonna move it over to you and planetary influences. I do want to say, we have 5 Thursdays this month, and I just want to give you a heads up. At the end of the month, at the end of the month that has 5 Thursdays all year long, Lori and I are going to be doing Power of Poetry, where we will have a guest poet and myself do poet read-offs, poem read-offs, while Lori orchestrates, and we will invite callers to call in and share their original poetry as well. But the Power of Poetry will be the 5th Thursday of this month, and every 5th Thursday through 2021 is going to be the Power of Poetry here on the Dr. Kevin Show. So just to let you know. So Rob, have any poetry? If you do, you should call in and participate. Or maybe you'll be one of our guest poets. Who do you know? What do you
I don't
know?
Have to do this. I don't have to do the planetary influences in poetry, do I? Because I'm not.
No. No. Yeah. Yeah. You're gonna have to do them all in quatrains. Or
yeah.
Couplets.
Right.
Yes.
Right. Right. Freestyle. So, yeah.
Yeah. Here we talk about the lovely gentleman Mars. He will take you far.
Yeah, well, I bet there's some really talented people that could do that, but it's not me. But yeah, so you know, the first thing I wanted to talk about was this new moon we had in Aries just on April 12th, what was that, just a few days ago. And this is a really positive and optimistic new moon, which indicates a new cycle, new beginnings. It's about pushing forward and being courageous. It's about being courageous, being bold. It's rebirth. It's coming out of the womb, and it's, you know, which comes with anxiety, but it's about pushing forward, being strong and pushing forward. And so this new moon's occurring when Jupiter's trine Mars. So there's a lot of courageous, expansive, optimistic, sort of positive exuberance in the air. And I've certainly been feeling it. I imagine everybody's feeling this. And there's something about some good-natured boldness and enthusiasm going on. And Jupiter's sextiling the sun, this new moon conjunction between the moon and the sun. And so it brings enthusiasm for life, being bold. It's warm and sunny, even though it's raining in Nashua right now, Dr. Kevin, as you were saying. But, you know, there's something about taking positive action now that leads to the benefits in the full moon in 6 months from now. And the full moon is in Aries. So there's some new beginning here. And it's about taking that courageous step and stepping into it and leaning into it. And working through all that. And so the sun, let me see, just pull my notes. So the sun is currently in Aries, and it's been in Aries for the past month. And Aries is courageous, as you know, I've been talking about this new moon in Aries. It's bold, it's about rebirth, it's very fiery and independent and assertive. And but all this can lead to a bit of exhaustion as well. And so the sun is moving into Taurus on April 20th. And Taurus is about returning to the earth. It's about focusing on narrowing the focus a bit, returning to the center. And I just want to mention that this new moon in Aries, it means to continue pushing forward, to be assertive and bold in your plans and your new beginning. But with the sun moving into Taurus, there's something about consolidating and narrowing one's focus and really, you know, continuing to push forward, but also not being easily pushed around. You know, there's something about the image of Taurus is the stoic bull. You know, it's not a raging bull. It's a quiet, sturdy, peaceful bull that is in control of its environment. It has nothing to fear. And so there's something about being still, resting, consolidating, finding that inner silence while you are pushing forward and being courageous, you know, with this new moon cycle. And Taurus is also about returning to the senses. I love that expression when people say, you know, coming to your senses. And there's an experiential thing with that. It's literally about being still and listening and tuning in, not only to, in fact, not the mind, it's to the senses. So it's what you sense, you know, whether that's feelings in the body or the external environment you hear, see, but returning to those senses, not necessarily thinking a whole lot about them, but just consolidating, narrowing the focus. And so, you know, the sun sign is really about, the sun is basically about following something that brings a healthy sense of self. And your natal placement of the sun, wherever the sun was at the moment of birth, that's your sun sign. That brings a lot of healthy sense of self when you follow that energy that's described by the sign and the house placement of the sun in your chart. But as the sun cycles through the zodiac during the year, we get the opportunity to try on these other astrological energies, and it's moving into Taurus. And so it's about connecting with the things that you value. It's about being grounded, reconnecting with your self-value, your self-reliance and self-sufficiency and things like that. So, and pretty soon, not quite yet, let me just pull up the chart here. Pretty soon there'll be four planets in the sign of Taurus. And when there's four or more planets in a sign, it's called a stellium. And it just brings a really huge focus of energy in that area of life. And in Taurus, it's about narrowing the focus, like I said before, placing attention on what matters, being grounding, finding stabilization in your life, being pragmatic and connecting with the earth and practical. And also finding the sense of belonging and setting roots. And so, and I know we're coming up to a break here, so I don't want to open up on new things, but you guys want to chime in at all? Is there anything you want to chat about?
Well, so what I hear is, you know, we have that Aries passion that moves us forward, and then as we move into Taurus, we make it solid. We bring it into more of a realness. And
right.
We'll be back here at the Dr. Kevin Show and see what Lori would like to throw into the ring as well. And I have a question for Mr. Rob when we get back here on Om Tides.
Conscious media for conscious minds. Om Tides. Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Tides Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going On? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Coping 19, brought to you by CDC and the Ad Council.
If you're feeling increasingly lonely right now, you're not alone. It's totally normal. Even though we may not be able to get together in person, connecting virtually with friends and family still gives you a chance to interact with people and may help raise your spirits. Join a virtual book club, set up group text chats, or online video coffee breaks with coworkers.
Find more self-care and coping tips at coping-19.org.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Dr. Kevin Show here on Om Times. We are on the week that we call Planetary Influences, where we look up to the skies and see what wisdom they are trying to give us so that we may live a more complete and full life. Just remember, it is guidance and insight and wisdom. They're not up there giving us marching orders. So don't give your power away, but take the power in of this knowledge that our astrologer, Rob Stewart from innercenters.org, is sharing with us, sharing with me, sharing with my co-host, Lori Powers Otto, and sharing with you, our audience, so that you can take advantage of what's going on. Or as the commercial says, what's really going on that we just finished hearing. So Lori, was there any questions you had about what Rob said so far?
Not so far. I'm looking forward to what he says next. So
Mr. Rob, you talked about we're coming up to having four planets in Taurus.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, Taurus is, it comes into my sixth house. It's right there on the cusp. I got Scorpio rising. So I got that Taurus bull right across trying to stomp on that poor little scorpion. That poor little gentle, fragile scorpion getting stomped on by that big old bull on the opposite side of the chart. But so with those four planets coming up from their lower horizon, if somebody out there were sharing that, because there's lots of people out there that will have that in their chart, and then there'll be a lot more that don't. But just for example, if somebody had their chart and they looked and said, oh, well, all of these planets are coming up and they're coming up and bringing my midline, what would you say to them as an astrologer?
Yeah, well, they are about to become more visible in your life. You know, when it's beneath the horizon, they're invisible. We don't see them. They're acting in a much deeper area of our psyche, so to speak. And when they come up above the horizon in the seventh house, they become visible. And oftentimes it's, of course, through other people in our lives or connecting with different people, different things, or bringing those to our connections. And so that's, you know, when planets come up above that horizon on the seventh house, things become a lot more visible and we bring them much more into our external world.
So as you are getting ready to tell us what those planets are, the planets that kind of affect or rule or influence those areas of my life are going to be the areas that are going to become more visible. Is that a correct, a logical conclusion?
Yeah. And, you know, with the Sun and Mercury and Venus, these are the faster moving planets. And so, you know, they swing through there every year. But the slower moving planets, that's when they come up above the horizon. That's when bigger changes are occurring. But you can expect to see, changes for sure as these faster moving planets are moving up above the horizon.
For those of you out there who have your astrology charts, take it out, take a look and say, where is my Taurus? What house is it in? Where am I going to feel these shifts and these changes? And if you don't have that answer and you don't really know how to understand it, if you go to innercenter.org and reach out to Rob, I bet he can hook you right up, can't you, Rob?
That's right. And so, you know, Taurus is about what we value, really. It's about developing the skills we need to create the value we need to meet our immediate needs. And so oftentimes Taurus is related with money, practical things, focusing in on those things. And so with Mercury in Taurus, Mercury rules thinking, communication, information, in and out. And so the thinking might be a bit more about money or finances, maybe making deals or money made through communications or connections. It's a great time for financial planning or making conscious decisions about expenditures or income or budgets, you know, things of that nature. And Mercury and Gemini, it's about being curious about the world. And so with Mercury and Taurus, exploring the physical world, it could also be about having more than one type of income with Mercury and Taurus, and bringing cleverness and ingenuity with your skills. And things that you value and things like that. So it's, you know, really about thinking about what do I value, where do I, and maybe exploring different things and love of information about, even about the world, you know, focus on more earthly practical things. And let's see. So, and Venus is also in Taurus. Mercury enters Taurus on the 19th of April. That's in a few days. Venus entered Taurus yesterday, I believe, on the 14th. And Venus is so here it's about reconsidering your value system. Venus is the things that we value. Venus rules Taurus, so it's right there at home in its own sign. And so it's a great time to, you know, reflect on your self-worth. Remind yourself of your self-worth. That's something I think we could all do more often, to simply feel more at home and rooted in who and what we are. Venus is about love and about affection, and so there can be love of money or love of security, those types of things. It's also about beauty with Venus in a tone sign of Taurus, so connecting with things of beauty. And fairness, diplomacy, tact, these are all available in a big way with Venus in its own sign. And, you know, there's something about the power of attraction with Venus in Taurus. You know, with Venus in Taurus, it's the idea of attracting money, attracting value, attracting the things that you want, wherever that house falls in your house, in your chart, whichever house it falls into. There's a great ability of attracting what it is you need and want through the law of attraction. And, you know, one of the things to be aware of is just to be, you know, maybe one could be a bit too possessive about people or things with Venus and Taurus. So, we love things and love those things of value. And of course, the shadow side of that is loving it too much and being a bit too attached to those types of things. So that's something to keep in mind. And so the fourth planet there is Uranus. Uranus has been in Taurus for quite a while now. I forgot when it moved into Taurus, but that's a much slower moving planet, and that'll be there throughout the rest of the year. We won't be talking about that right now. But what I do want to talk about is from April 18th until the 24th or so, it's an interesting time. So on April 19th, or is it the 18th? I forgot when exactly the conjunction is between the Sun and Mercury. Whenever a planet becomes exactly conjunct, meaning it takes up the exact same place in the sky as a planet, that planet is considered to be combust. And what that means is that it loses some of its strength. And with Mercury, there's something about communication or even maybe discernment or processing information. And so this is occurring while those two planets are squaring Pluto. And so when I see this in the chart, you know, the vibes are good in the world right now. There's some great new beginning. There's great vibes occurring in the planet right now based on the astrology. And I think people can see that too in maybe their own daily lives or the world at large. And, you know, and then the Sun, Mercury, Pluto thing, the possibility would be maybe some negative headlines in the news or something happening. This Sun-Mercury conjunction is occurring at 29 degrees Aries. So that's sort of a sharp degree in terms of, you know, maybe there's some news or something that sort of shakes things up a little bit. And I would just encourage everyone to, you know, the vibes are good and just remember, you know, the progression, I guess that hopefully is occurring here, moving into the summer with this new Aries new moon. Maybe it's some difficult headline or something challenging that's occurring, and that might spark some anger. In fact, the moon will be conjunct to Mars at that point in time when this conjunction is occurring. And so, and this is occurring in the U.S.'s fifth house, and that's the place of the bright lights, the big stage, standing up for one's beliefs and things like that. And so, I don't know. You never know how to see these things, but perhaps there's some, challenging thing that we are moving through as we continuing these good vibes and putting everything into greater context.
So are you saying that everything is really good? Really, it's good, but there's something that's going to try to derail us and make us not realize how good things really are?
I don't know how good things really are, you know, in general. In terms of the astrology, it's just good vibes. It's sort of pushing forward. It's about being courageous and moving forward. And this is saying that, you know, maybe there's this, you know, thing where, or a difficult headline and that actually might lead to some maybe market volatility or some market instability. I don't know. I'm not a financial advisor, but basically what it's saying is some uncertainty and some, you know, surprises in finances. It's in Taurus, so things of that nature. But because of the selenium that's occurring in Taurus, there is stability in that area. So it's the type of thing that, again, who knows what the future holds, you know, but the astrology is suggesting that perhaps there's some type of challenging headline, some type of anger, provoked anger, and maybe some uncertainty and some surprise sort of changes related to finances or it's in Taurus, so practical matters, and it's in the fifth house of the U.S., so it's something about maybe creativity or it's also partially conjunct to the U.S.'s Chiron in the fourth house, which is wounding with ancestors, you know, so the type of thing of like, oh, where is my home? And this sort of, the United States has a sort of a wounded inner child, so to speak, archetypally speaking, of not really having a home and being about sensitive about what home is. And obviously the history of this country, it's very, it's got a checkered past with, in terms of, you know, this isn't our land type of thing. And so there's a very, there's a sensitivity in the United States chart of home and belonging and things like that. And this, maybe that's related to this. I have no idea, but these are just some of the key words that show up in the astrology language.
Yeah, I would tend to think that it may be shaking the foundation of home and what we call home and how we see home, and that there could be headlines four things that highlight that the schism of the things like the resurrection that happened, you know, January 6th and the attempt to overthrow our government and its processes and the big lies. I think that it could, though needed, could be very painful, and it could corrode away at a false version of the American dream to only be replaced by perhaps a truer version or a more accurate version than the one that we give lip service to, but actually have not been committed to through the way that we distribute wealth and the way that we write laws and the way we create things. One man's American dream is another man's American nightmare. And so I think I keep on feeling it's going to be not so much it may hit financial markets somehow, but I think it's going to be something to do with this sense of home and what does it mean to be an American, and are we going to grow up? Are we going to stop being an adolescent going through puberty, which is what we act like in this country? Like our hormones are ruling our head. So those are just my thoughts. I don't know if those would fit in with what you're saying, but mm-hmm. you're welcome mm-hmm. to comment or continue. Your choice.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, that all makes sense.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls Project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Vox Novus, the new voice. Vox Novus, the new dimension. Vox Novus, thought and movement leaders who will share from their experience and offer tools to help us navigate our rapidly changing world. My name is Victor Furman. Join me every Thursday at 8 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio for Vox Novus, the new voice.
If I could be you,
and you could be me,
for just 1 hour.
If you could find a way
to get inside
each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Hello, 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 and welcome back to the last segment of the Dr. Kevin Show, where we're having this week planetary influences with our astrologer, Rob Stewart at innercenter.org, and the lovely Lori Powers Otto. Now, I was told the time was coming up where I was going to be manifesting beauty to me. Does that mean you're finally going to come over and have a cup of coffee with me, Lori? Because I just can't think of anything more beauteous that I could manifest.
Oh, aren't you a sweet talker? Well, I get my second shot on the 24th. So after that, we'll make a date.
Okay. So, Rob, I'm going to have you go ahead and continue, but I just want to make sure that you're very clear with me when I'm going to be exposing my Venus to the world, because I don't want to get arrested for it.
All right.
You said it's coming up over the horizon, you know, and it's just those times. Go ahead.
All right. So like I said, you know, from the 18th to the 24th or so. It's just sort of an interesting, I don't know, maybe some shakeups, but it's a good time. The vibes are good. It's just this sort of some shakeups or some changes. And part of that is related to Mercury and Venus in Taurus being conjunct with Uranus while squaring Saturn. So there's something, I don't know, you know, it could be one interpretation would be sort of volatility in sort of money areas of life. And also the transiting moon is conjunct the U.S.'s Neptune. So maybe there's a bit of lack of clarity in terms of what exactly is going on or what all that. So that's just, it's just interesting to see how these things play out. But just definitely, you know, the sort of energy of some shakeups that are occurring. But the bottom line is that, again, these are, it's, there's good vibes. And one of the signatures for that is transiting Jupiter that is conjunct with the U.S.'s natal moon. And it's nearly, actually, it's just about an exact conjunction around that time. And that just brings abundance and good vibes to the sort of the country as a whole. The moon is our sense of safety and security and our needs. And Jupiter's right there. So there's this sort of buoyancy that's available. And whatever these sort of shakeups are, this sort of these headlines, I have no idea, obviously. But it'd just be interesting to just track what's going on. It's always fun to try to connect the dots from the sky to this world here. And then also on that same day where this conjunction between Venus, Uranus, and Mercury are squaring Saturn, that's occurring on the same day that Mars enters the sign of Cancer. And so this is sort of, it is sort of an emotional period of time. You know, it's a time to where we can really make, sort of create conditions of safety and security in our own lives. The sign of Cancer is very emotional. It's very watery. And so there's something about creating, working with our emotions and healing and, you know, speaking our emotions, processing them, all of that, that's really healthy during a time when Mars is in the sign of Cancer. And, you know, when Mars is in the sign of Cancer, it's a bit beneath the surface, you know, it's about more of the emotional depth. And, you know, sometimes it can relate in some feeling a bit stifled by our emotions or sharing your opinion. And also it could be, you know, to be mindful of like passive aggression and those sort of non-direct ways of asserting oneself. But it's a great time to process emotions, to work with emotions in a healthy way. And let's see. So... and then on the 27th of April, there's a full moon in Scorpio. And so a full moon in Scorpio, full moons are about times of releasing and basically the fruition of these past 6 months and harvesting. You know, some sort of, some cycle has began 6 months ago with a new moon in Scorpio. And now it is reaching its completion with a full moon in Scorpio. And with Scorpio, it's about bringing to light and transforming maybe some issues related to trust or control or power struggles or things like that. Scorpio is about the depths, looking beneath the surface, you know, looking beneath the hood of the car rather than the color and the shape and model of the car. It's about looking under the hood and seeing what's there in that car. And so the full moon in Scorpio, there's something about releasing these sort of things we've been working on this past 6 months in regards to those areas of life. And it's also about letting go of any resistance to change. Scorpio is about transformation and the phoenix rising from the ashes. And so there's something about letting go into that transformation that we are all in our own lives. and letting go of attachments and seeing things from a higher perspective. And so this full moon is squaring Saturn in Aquarius, and it's actually conjunct Uranus, Venus, and Mercury in Taurus. So, you know, there's something about this, the Sun is conjunct Uranus, Uranus, Mercury, and Venus. I'm just looking at the chart here. And so, yeah, this is, again, towards the end of this month, maybe there's some unexpected things. But again, the vibes are good. There's some new beginning. There's some moving forward and being, you know, courageous. And with that Jupiter supporting the United States moon, there's really good vibes and buoyancy there. And Pluto stations retrograde on April 27th. And what that means is that from the Earth's perspective, Pluto will come to a standstill and then start to move backwards. And of course, it's not moving backwards in reality. It's just that the Earth is overtaking it in its orbit. It's like passing a car. And of course, the car is not moving backwards, but it appears as though it's moving backwards because we're moving faster than it. And so what this means is there's something about reconnecting with your inner power. You know, do I feel empowered in my life? Am I taking power in my life? Reassessing and evaluating where you are in your journey with regards to, you know, your self-power, your personal power, all those different things. Those are Pluto themes. And also it's about diving into the subconscious and looking at the subconscious material, the stuff that is ready to be healed and transformed within the subconscious realms. And so Pluto retrograde, it's retrograde for about 5 months. So it will be, I think it's direct sometime in October or so later this year. And it's just a time to reassess our own empowerment journey in our life, which is different for everybody. And let's see. So on May 5th and May 9th, Mercury and Venus entered the sign of Gemini. These are faster moving planets. So these are visible in your sky. Imagine your birth chart sky, Dr. Kevin, at that point, obviously. And so Mercury and Venus in Gemini. Gemini is about information, inflow and outflow, communication. It's about perception and taking in data. It's also about exploring and curiosity. And it's a time where we can be a bit scattered if we don't pay attention to some grounding and things like that. But it's also a highly communicatable time and a time to make connections, make new connections, opportunities of meeting people through technology and connecting in different ways. So Gemini is also the sign of, you know, neighbors and siblings. And, you know, so it's a really easily flowed time with Mercury and Venus and Gemini in terms of communication and exchange of information and things like that. But just keep in mind with Mars in the sign of Cancer, there's, you know, maybe some stifled emotions when there's this communication and things like that. So it's a good time to communicate about your emotions and put it on the table and process emotions because the communication can really flow. And then, you know, the last thing I have here is Jupiter entering the sign of Pisces on May 14th. And Jupiter is a really slow moving planet. It takes about a year to cycle through one sign. And so Jupiter will be in the sign of Pisces until May 13th of 2022. So that's over a year from now that it'll be in Pisces. And so Pisces is about having faith. It's about opening our minds, our hearts, and our souls, really. And, you know, it's also about developing vitality and confidence and uplifting our spirits. And so with Jupiter moving into Pisces, There's something about reconnecting with your faith in the cosmos, in the things that are beyond this material realm. It's about having faith and positive optimism in our connection and our place in the cosmos, in the universe. And, you know, another way of thinking about Jupiter is about looking for the meaning in one's life. And so you could look at the placement of Pisces in your chart and to see like, okay, well, how can I have faith in these areas? What are ways there's abundance available in Pisces, wherever it falls in the chart, in the early degrees here, starting out in May this year. And so in Pisces, there is something about connecting with that wise sage in ourselves, that sort of, there's this, you know, the great saying of you can go inside, going within, connects you with the universe. You know, sometimes we think, oh, I have to connect out there, but out there is in here, in there is out there. And so there is something about connecting deep into the subconscious, connecting deep into oneself to connect to the whole and to move beyond those sort of association with ego or self, to recognize that our individual wave is just one wave in the ocean of a collective body of water. These are places where there's great abundance and healing and optimism available. And so it's also a great time for surrender and surrendering that sort of those mini surrenders we have each and every day, and of letting go of things that aren't serving, you know, letting go of those unhelpful thinking patterns or unhelpful habits we have in our life. So there's something about with Jupiter and Pisces, some great opportunities to let go of the parts, the sort of false dreams we have about our own self, you know, these old thinking patterns that just don't serve us in the long run. And so, yeah, that's all I have here in my notes. And Dr. Kevin, Laura, do you guys want to chime in on any of that?
So, Laurie, any questions or thoughts?
Well, I think what I'm getting out of this is that we're coming into a time where we all have to dive deep into ourselves and be honest and be real and communicate and reach out and really figure out what's real for us and what's not real, what we've been taught as versus what is the real truth. And if we do that, then we are going to move forward in a very positive and happy and healthy way. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes sense. I understand that interpretation. Yeah, for sure.
I think it could be a very beautiful year if we all do our part.
So there are two things I want to comment on, and then I want to do a quick of who's next week's guest is. Which I know I don't always do, but I just thought I'd keep people on their toes and do it this week. So when you talked about we're having all these new beginnings and new energies and things like this, I immediately thought of, you know, it's like when a baby is born and the baby is born and it's kind of like figuring everything out, and what are its fingers and what are its hands and what are its toes. And it kind of goes on. We would hopefully like to think in this semi nurtured, coddled environment, at least that's what it should be. And so for this example, we're going to assume it's having a loving, wonderful little childhood, and things are really kind of going its way. Yeah, its diapers get wet a little bit of here and there, but then you hit teething. And we're going to have a little teething come up, and it's going to be upsetting. But if we manage the teething well, we're going to have a set of teeth, and we're going to continue the process of growth. I don't know why that example came to me, but it was the example that came to me.
Real quick, with the moon, with Jupiter conjunct the moon, there's some real good vibes here. And, you know, the any glitches or, you know, or whatever, like maybe there's some changes and things like that, but there is some, there's some real buoyancy here. And so I think that's the bottom line, that, you know, maybe there's some changes or this and that. But it's, that's not the big story here. The big story is there's some real good vibes and real pushing forward. And so I'm really excited about, you know, the opportunities, the possibilities here. And I think that's the big story. I don't know what these, you know, potential setbacks are, but or if, maybe not even setbacks. And that's the beauty of it. I think it's a real positive story here.
Okay, so Rob, as always, we'll see you in about a month, and we want to thank you for enlightening us what's going on. And what I want to do now is I do want to let people know that next week we have, I'm going to run out of time. We have Dr. Lisa Thompson, who wrote the best-selling book, Why Are You Sick, Fat, and Tired? Find out now. Available on Amazon. That's Dr. Patricia Vallone. Lisa Thompson was last week. Sorry. Dr. Patricia Vallone and her talking about her best-selling book, Why Are You Sick, Fat, and Tired? Find out now. We'll see you right here next week on The Dr. Kevin Show.